Don't tell the others done a countdown for once.
This feels weird having a countdown.
It does. It feels professional.
It does, almost.
It feels like everyone's in the know, and that's very unusual. Welcome, everyone, to episode 16. I might have to stop doing this. Of the VR Crewcast season 3, which is even weirder. How are you doing? Thank you for joining us on a random Wednesday. We will be going back to Mondays, as we've all found out. Wednesdays are superiorly busy, randomly, and yeah, hopefully we can fill your day up with some interesting VR chat and stuff, which would be pretty cool. Brad would love it if we actually turned this into just VR chat.
Just suddenly a whole episode on VR chat. I like,
yeah,
it.
I did perk up hearing those words. It's true.
He would absolutely love that. But yeah, let's give some shouts to people who have joined us so quickly. Thank you. Hello, Artful, Ryan B, Getting Things Done. Yo, what's good, dude? Good to see you, Alakazam. Brandon VR Radio Runt, James, B Mac, E Pilot, nice, how you doing? Thank you for joining us, Wolf Raza, Pete Neon, Snow of the Toad, how you doing? Do you want to be called Snow of the Toad? Toad of the Snow? I don't know, just Snow Toad to do, but every time I see it, I seem like I need to make something else happen with it. I'm not sure. Looper, how you doing? Silver Nexus, Biggity Bam, good to see you, man, good to see you. And yeah, welcome everyone, thank you for joining us today. We're going to be talking about Firewall Ultra. We have sort of dissected the trailer as well a little bit. And Brad done a tweet earlier about the Quest Pro. So I'm very excited to hear about that. But first of all, in case you don't know, in our top left, possibly top left, is Alex VR from Between Realities. How you doing, dude?
Yo, I'm doing pretty well here. You know, we're kind of running on the skeleton crew today here on the VR crew cast. Mm. But we thought it was important to make sure that we got an episode in this week, you know, so yeah. I'm happy to get this intimate time with, you know, with a smaller group of my fine VR boys.
It's going to be intimate. It's going to be intimate. Like, yeah, we're touching. Right. We're touching tips today. We're touching tips.
Whoa. All right.
Top right, we've got Sadliest Bradley. How you doing, man?
Good. I've been very busy this week, but it's all been very fun busyness, and I'm happy to come back here and just chill out with you guys once again.
Beautiful, dude, beautiful. Tell us about your background. I mentioned it earlier. It looks so sick, dude.
Yeah, it's just a couple of tarps that I found on Amazon. They kind of express the metaverse is dead stuff very well, because, you know, it's very interesting. No, but yeah, it's just, you know, I did redo my room last week, because I was tired of living in a pigsty. So
yeah. Oh, that is quality, mate. Like, I feel you. I feel like through the week I sort of work and stuff gets put places, and I'm not like that as a person. I'm kind of like one of those people that has to put everything back in the same place so I don't need to remember it ever again. But yeah, it's like, as the week goes on, you're picking stuff up, you're moving it around, you've got to get to the computer, you've got to do different things, and then suddenly, you take a look. It's like you got blinders on while you're working, yeah, and stuff, and then you open your eyes, and you're like, oh my God.
What's on your floors right now, to your left and to your right? Like, I always, this is how I find myself. I find myself, like, I work on stuff, and I'll use it, and I'll set it down, and I want to go put it back, and put it where, but I, like, so, like, whatever I'm, like, currently messing with, like, I can just grab... Yeah. IMAX Portal.
IMAX check Portal. That out. Yeah, nice, dude. Very jealous of that. I'd love to check that out.
IMAX Crystal.
Oh, check that out, dude.
Oh, is this a IMAX commercial now?
No, wait. Have you seen one of these?
No. Oh, yes, I have that too.
Do you know what that logo is?
No.
Do you have one of those, Brad?
This thing, right?
What do you think, better than me?
Yeah, you got one too. Get out of here.
Oh, it's the tracking thing. For big screen, is it? I guess, or something.
No, it's just it's an Ultra Leap. It's the Ultra Leap 2, Leap Motion 2 tracker.
Yep.
It's for hand tracking on any headset.
I mean, I just have a feeling that Brad's the same way, right? Like, you have, like, just shit all over around your floor, like.
Yeah, it was funny. After I cleaned my studio, I did a 3D scan of my room, because I was like, it's gonna get messy again. I want to have this archived before it gets messy again.
I want to remember this.
Complaining like, Brad, you gotta manage all those wires on the floor. And my mind was like, dude, if you think it's bad right now when it's clean, you should have seen it, like, before I cleaned it up. It was a freaking spaghetti disaster everywhere you walk.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I do have this right for here for you, because I know you love this one. So I do have this one right here too.
Oh, it's a beautiful little baby.
That's cool, a cute little thing.
Your end of life baby.
Yeah, I'm I'll keep it a stack. I'm definitely not the person to put the things away. Like, you know, because right now I have my space set up to do this show. You know, there's a nice mics, or, you know, like a camera stand and a ring light and a couple of lights going. You know, I got the whole shebang, and I know I'm gonna do this again on Monday. So like, the less I can move these things, the better in my mind, because I can just come back to do the thing again. It's like, if I brush my teeth every day, I like have the toothpaste right there next to the sink. I'm going to come back to this relatively soon. So what's the point of like putting it into a Ziploc bag and away into a shelf? Like, no, I just leave it there where I need it. So, but then I need everything that I touch in my life from day to day, and it all piles up. And then before I know it, I look around and it is an absolute disaster. So
I envision like old consoles or like around GT's. Like, he's got a Sega, you know, Dreamcast in one corner, and like.
So I'm very lucky. Mr. GT allowed me to take over our. So this is actually our bedroom, which I think she only sleeps in now. it's just all VR stuff, and then downstairs in the we have a dining room, and that has now turned into a gaming room, and it's got all my retro consoles. I've still got some stuff up here. Like, I've got my NES. I've got my Game Boy. I don't know if you actually heard me. I turned away. The Game Boy and the NES is up there. But yeah, eventually, like, what I want to do is turn that room into like a real arcade room, like get some neon in there and stuff like that. Because and get some extra bloody N64 controllers. I've realized I've only got two. Obviously, I need four, like, at some point. But yeah, dude.
And they need to be OEM and in decent shape.
What's OEM?
Like, they need to be like the Nintendo official first party.
Fucking hell, Alex. Yeah. You don't need to tell me that.
I mean, hey, you know, you. We all grew up with like a Mad Cats controller.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, man. Mad Cats were pretty good, actually.
I mean, for your neighbor when he comes over to play with you.
Yeah. Exactly that. The people you don't like. There you go.
Man. Yeah.
Did you guys have the Wave Bird? Remember the Wave Bird?
Dude, hell yeah. I love the Wave Bird and used the shit out of that thing.
Wait, that was a Nintendo one, wasn't it? The wireless one for the game.
Yep.
Yep. And then you can also, there are GameCube ports on top of the Nintendo Wii. So when I was playing Brawl, I had that for Brawl as well, like all the way back on the couch, you know, wireless, jamming on my Wave Bird. Loved it. And you could technically still use that on the Switch. You can get an adapter, plug into the USB, Wave Bird. Boom.
I think the GameCube was the biggest, like, you could plug so much shit into the GameCube. Like, you could actually hook up, I think, your handheld Nintendo into the GameCube in some way with like a TV screen or whatever or something like that. There's so many ports in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love the
Nintendo GameCube. Has done all kinds of awesome stuff over the years with their hardware, just like weird cool collaborations, and like, you know, Game Boy that works on your Super Nintendo, you know, to your point, Mash, or like the Game Boy Advance on the GameCubes, and the way that they hook up and link together has always just been completely badass. And Japan has always gotten way cooler stuff than we've gotten. They had products come out in Japan that never came out in the States that were
like
super
the
awesome.
Like the 64DD. You remember about that? Yeah, I heard about that, man. When I was really into my N64, I was like, but Sega did that as well, didn't they? Sega did that with the Mega CD and the 32X, and they did other bits. But we're here to talk about the future. We're here to talk about now, because all we're going to do is dive into this old school thing. But who dropped the first F-bomb? Aren't all saying someone's already dropped an F-bomb?
Not me.
The host of the
was
show.
It Brad?
It was Brad, yeah.
Brad, how dare
Brad.
You?
Brad.
Sorry for the demonetization. I'm sorry.
Oh, awful. He's so quick to grass on me. I can't believe it. Like, that's in the past. Why did you tell anyone?
Yeah, now you're in trouble.
That's so weird. Snowtoad said I've got his name tatted on my back, lower back. Anyway.
Like a tramp stamp? Like a snow toad tramp stamp?
He sent me the funds to get it done, and I told him I got it done. I was like, all right. Yeah, I've got it
nice.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah.
James has just bought a Dreamcast. Fantastic, dude. It's you got to do some serious work. So I've seen people do some fantastic modding.
Stone Soul Calibur. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Go ahead.
Okay, and last but not least is Eric Mash from QTC VR Gamer. How you doing, dude?
What's up, guys? How you doing today? This is weird, just the four of us. Like, I miss the other guys.
Oh, dude. I do too. That's why, like, I need the guys in the chat to basically almost let me know if you want us to do a show like this. Or, like, is a show better than no show? Because in...
Oh, no, I think we do a show.
A couple of weeks back, I cancelled one because we were down to four. And I was like, I don't know, like, I need the fam. You know, like,
dude, four is like before the crew cast, bro. Four was my maximum.
Yeah,
maximum. I would never do a show with more than four people before we did this, and now all of a sudden, like, we're used to doing it with how many? Seven? Is that how many normally are here?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah.
So I mean, Beard, I was part of it as well in the beginning.
Yeah. Right.
So
I would never do a five-man show for Between Realities. Like, we'll have two guests on, like two people, you know, on like each of our little screens on the desk or whatever, but I'll just straight up say no to a fifth.
I don't know what to say. Thank you ever so much for the $5 donation from Neely Ryan, the game feline. Here's some re-monetization for y'all. Thank you ever so much. And yeah, Brad won't swear anymore. So Brad, let's dive into your bit first. Let's talk about the Quest Pro, dude. Like, what's going on with the Quest Pro?
Yeah,
You've always had a bit of beef with the Pro, haven't you? A little bit of beef.
You know, I think my beef with it has proven to be correct for the market. Basically, I was frustrated with the way they marketed it. They basically said that you could totally use this as a laptop replacement. You can do productivity in it. You can do AR in it. Basically, everything they advertised it was the things that it actually could not do very well, in my opinion, for the majority of people. I know there's some people out there that use it, but like, basically it leads into the topic. The Information did a huge report today. Basically, they got some people from Meta to explain their plans for not only the Quest Pro, but AR in general. But one of the big moments is Meta is no longer going to order any components for any new Quest Pros to be made. Every time, once they get through their current stock of Quest Pros being made with the current components that they have maybe on already in a stash, then it's done. Quest Pros basically... This is basically an end of life scenario for Quest Pro is what I'm trying to say. And it just shows it really did not sell well. They want to pivot definitely more to cheaper. They can't really work in this high end. They were just way too early with the hardware they had.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. So they did get quite a lot of social traction on Twitter. Like, I think it was Marcus Brown and a few other people like showed that augmented reality screens and stuff. And everyone who then used it were like, it doesn't actually kind of look like this recording what we're seeing here. But I don't know whether they were genuinely wowed by it, because they hadn't really come across anything like that before, you know, and for that kind of price as well. You know, they weren't, in my mind, I wouldn't use it for that stuff. What I liked it for personally, and apart from the optics, I do love the optics, I still think comfort's an issue with it, but that whiteboarding experience in workrooms, for example, because you've got eye tracking, face tracking, it felt so much more personal. So it was nice to, I guess, witness a bit of the future of VR, what that's going to be like, you know, if the day you can scan your own avatar and you are in virtual space and it would feel like you're there. I think that's quite important.
I'm actually kind of sad about the other topic was, I think them targeting that market was good for them to do. I think it is awesome to have an enthusiast and like pro tier line, but it sounds like they are suspending this line indefinitely. There's not going to be like a Quest Pro 2 coming out anytime soon.
Oh.
They're really focusing on Quest 3 and maybe something even cheaper down the line. Like, that was reported earlier in this year as
like a cheaper Quest 3, for example.
Yeah, like a Quest 3 Lite S or something. Yeah, yeah.
What would that?
So did they just fail then with the Quest Pro? Like, they like had a vision, they had a goal, and then they just didn't get close.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think fail is a harsh word, because I don't know if we could have the Quest 3 at the current price point it's going to be at without having the Quest Pro. So did it fail in a retail mindset? I think it definitely failed. But I think they needed to go through the process of making the Quest Pro to figure out how to make the Quest 3 as affordable as it's going to be.
I think that's like a talking point that certain CTOs might make, but I actually disagree with that. I'll leave it at that.
Do you think without the Quest Pro they could have released the Quest 3 right now this fall and done it as cheaply as they could have done it?
Absolutely.
Like, so they didn't learn anything on the Quest Pro.
They don't need a Quest Pro 2 to figure out Quest 4, or you know, like they're just talking points from certain individuals have been shown many times to be untrue. So I don't listen to those talking points. And just from what I understand from the state of the industry, it's not hard to fab pancake lenses like in Quest Pro anymore in general. I mean, Pico 4, they did a pretty good job and they didn't have nearly the amount of funding that Meta's had.
It's interesting about pancake lenses. So like, one of the things when I started talking about Quest 3, which I don't really do at the moment, I'm kind of thinking sometimes I don't want to talk about it just yet, but pancake lenses have come up. And I actually think Pico have added to that hype of like, oh, these are like really something everyone should look forward to. Is that your preferred thing? Obviously, pancake lenses and stuff.
I think pancake lenses is the one defining feature of the Quest Pro that everyone actually likes about it. Like everyone. Yeah. I've never heard one person say, oh, I wish I go back to Quest 2 Fresnel lenses, mm-hmm. right? But again, what bothers me about the Quest Pro, if we're going to really talk about it, is like, again, not just the marketing, but they had all these features that the industry has wanted for a while, but they just really, they failed on marketing. They failed on the use case for it. They gave no demos. Or I shouldn't say demos, they gave no software from themselves to really take advantage of it. And you just can't do that. You can't, it's unfortunate, but like, I was really excited for Quest Pro because I really thought like, okay, this device will prove the health of this industry more than anything, in my opinion. Because it's not uncommon for other electronics industries to have a high tier line that's expensive and more premium, and then the affordable line. I was like, okay, if both these lines can exist at the same time, then yeah, I think we're in a really good state. But the fact that Quest Pro failed and they're not planning to do a Quest Pro 2 anytime soon just kind of makes me feel that we're still in a very slow growth and just play it by ear kind of way with the industry.
Totally.
Sorry, Alex.
I was just going to say it totally sucks because like when the Quest Pro launched, and like, you know, as we're like watching Project Cambria and starting to understand all these features that it's going to have, to your point, GT, like I started to see the future. I'm like, oh, sick. Hand and eye tracking in a device, like really clean, clear optics, you know, like it's running Quest 2 titles, but can also do other stuff. And, you know, I think a lot of us kind of imagined that the Quest Pro was like the dev kit for the next thing that will then have all of the software that Brad is saying is lacking, you know, because like right now, if I wanted to sell somebody on VR, I'd probably put them into Synapse because the way that eye tracking works in that game is just on next level. It's amazing. Like, it feels so good. So I want to see that kind of stuff on the standalone market too. Like, I want to be able to use my Quest and have eye tracking in a game like that. But well, this kind of sounds like that's not going
to
happen.
This brings me back to like the conversation about talking about a Quest 3 Lite. What the hell are they stripping away? Because it's not like the Quest 3 has eye tracking. I thought their focus was really going to be like AR, MR. So you need the LiDAR. So what are we stripping back? I mean, the head strap looks pretty standard, if that's a term, for Quest 2. It looks better than Quest 2 in some ways, but not... I'm still very, very like apprehensive on the comfort of this device, obviously. Very happy with the fact that the balancing sounds like it's something they've addressed. What is your visions of a Quest 3 Lite, for example?
My personal opinion, what I think they might do is I wouldn't be shocked if they went with the Quest 2 form factor lenses and everything, but putting a new chip in there. Just so they can like kind of equalize for developers, target this chip from now on. Like Quest 2, we did sell a lot. They're going to be a lot slower, in my opinion, to abandoned the Quest 2 than they were with the Quest 1 because of all the units that are out there. So I think if they did do a lower end, I think they would focus on the chip more than anything else in it.
I'm just not sure if you even need that, though. At $500 for a headset, like, I don't think you need a lesser product. That just doesn't really make sense to me.
Something scary. They seem very, like, Meta's always kind of acted this way. They always seem like they're scared of something, and like they're always want to undercut even themselves. They always want to undercut in some ways.
Yeah,
this has happened historically all the time.
It's like a self battle. It's like there's two lots of people working at Meta, and make it, because to me that just all that does to me is just confuse.
Yeah.
The system. In my mind, I'd be thinking of a Quest 3 Pro, for example, or a Quest 3. So you get the eye tracking and stuff. And then at the same time, you've got all the people who invested in the Quest 3 going, well, I would have bought that in the first place if you'd have made that product. And I thought PSVR 2 would have shown, not Quest Pro, obviously, just to go around it, like my brain's like swirling at the moment.
Well, if you're going to call it a light, I immediately make the comparison to Nintendo, because Nintendo has the Switch and the Switch Lite. And it's interesting because this, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, Meta dropped their recommended age from 12 or 13, I think it was 13, to 10. So, and then they have Roblox coming to the headset. So, like, yeah. I'm starting to think, okay, who's their actual target audience here? Is it us?
You're talking about a $299 product then.
I think they want that entry point. I think it will. I think because we've always talked about what you know, we always know that Meta wanted to pivot to the Quest Pro to go to a productivity and a social headset, but they did it way too fast and they did it incorrectly, and that's what made them realize that they need to go back to gaming. So to me, they are going to double down on gaming, but they want to make that entry point so low that it almost makes sense not to get into it. So how do they do that? I don't know what they take out of this headset, but I've been saying all along, I could see them shipping this headset without controllers and just do hand tracking.
No, I don't think so.
I think they could do it. They could do it because how many Quest 2s are out there? And you could use the Quest, make it compatible with a Quest 2 controller.
But they're
always
looking,
Quest Pro controller.
I think
But if you did that, you would save yourself a ton of money. And you could, there's a lot of hand tracking games out there. They want more hand tracking games. You could do that and save a ton of money and really get this thing low priced to be, you know, fairly good technology, but still super low priced. I mean, think about if you could get people into this headset. Maybe you get into people in this headset for $250 or $299. I mean, that makes a significant difference over what a Quest 3 is going to be.
I personally think if there was a Quest 3 Lite, they would use the touch controllers from Quest 2, for example. That's what I think they would do. They're so robust, and the battery life's insane. It's kind of like a universally accepted controller now. Like, for me personally, that is... I love my PSVR 2 controllers, but I still think the Quest Pro controllers are fantastic to feel. Like, when you're in VR, you feel like you're not really holding something, as in when I play like certain shooting games, for example, and I go from one to the other, I feel a bit of a tilt on my hand sometimes. And obviously that depends on what the developers do for gun angles and stuff, but there's still always that difference between if I play a game on Pro. Now, I was going to say, that's one thing I'm glad about Quest Pro. I love the evolution of the controllers, and definitely I think Quest Pro had a lower resolution than Quest 2, and yet it looked roughly like a tiny bit, but it looks so much clearer due to
optics.
The
lenses,
and I think we've had Brad talk before about the importance of optics, you know, and it's something I didn't really understand until Pro, you know. Like, I was first like, oh yeah, resolution, and I think generally the community would have spoken about that more so if we didn't have people like Brad who were like, hold on a minute, like, and it would just be so good to go like, here's Quest 2. This is a slightly higher resolution. Now look at Quest Pro. And to me, sometimes it's, well, pretty much night and day in some titles. Like, so,
it's totally night and day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Quest Pro is a huge step up from the Quest 2.
Yeah.
And it is.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a gaming headset.
On paper, it's lower
it's a great
lower
gaming headset
resolution. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like they marketed this thing so wrong, and like they tried to go, like if they had said, here's your Quest Pro, it's a gaming headset and it's $750, they probably would have done really well. Instead of $1,500 as a non, this is not a gaming headset, you shouldn't buy this, you know, this is a business and workflow, you know, headset, you know, which completely dumped that headset. But if they had said, here's your Quest Pro, it's a gaming headset, it's fantastic, you can do this, this, and this with this, and here's the price, it's $750, I think they would have done well.
They probably wanted a bunch of companies to scoop up 20 to 50 at a time for all of their work meetings. Like, because like to GT's point earlier, Workrooms is awesome. Like,
I think
Workrooms is awesome. You can pull your own TV your computer screen into there. You can switch from hand tracking. You have your facial expressions in the meetings. Like, it's great.
And then you use the bottom of the controller as like a pen.
Yep.
Right.
And you can draw.
It looks like
stuff.
A pen. It's just cool. Yeah. Like, that is cool.
It's legit. Yeah. It's legit. But the problem is it's not the hardware now. It's the company. Like, the way that Meta works is not conducive for like enterprise and like corporations and like government run stuff. Like, mm-hmm. nobody wants to touch Meta with a 10-foot pole. So they don't get into that ecosystem. And that's why like HTC and I don't know, I guess HTC is like the one that does the best in that space, because they can provide the hardware that's good enough to accomplish what enterprises are trying to do, but don't have to deal with Meta. You know what I mean?
The XR Elite's doing so well.
Well, no, like the Vive Focus 3 is like really what I'm thinking about.
Oh, you
like,
can't buy that in America anymore.
Really?
It's a shame. Like, anybody's what? Buying it anyway, the Vive Focus.
Did we say
last
week?
The other day, they're retiring it. They're retiring it in America. You can't get it.
Did I say last week what HTC stands for? Did I tell you guys?
Yeah.
I thought it was so funny. Yeah, the High Tech Corporation.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. It's high tech. It's like, how can we really like let everyone know that we are the leaders of innovation? They're like, hold on a minute. High tech. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, just one more thought on the whole Quest Lite thing. And I guess it's just to kind of like complete the thought that I was making, or the point I was making earlier. And it's like, Nintendo has a history of releasing light versions of their portable devices, and they usually sacrifice some type of like physical functionality, you know, or customizability. But at the end of the day, their target audience for those devices is children, because if you give a regular Switch to a 5-year-old and they drop it down the stairs, a Joy-Con might go flying off. Like, now, you know, you can't do the same things that you were able to do with it, but they make this like tank of a Switch called a Switch Lite that does not pull apart. Like, the whole thing is just like completely cohesive and like glued together, and you could drop that thing 10 times before, you know, being able to drop your Switch once and have like comparable damage. So with the Roblox thing and with the age thing going down, I wouldn't be surprised that if there is a second version of the Quest 3 that comes out, it would be marketed for kids, something with like bumpers on the edges of it. And maybe they would take away things like hand tracking, you know, or casting, or like maybe some of the functionality, that kind of thing, if they're trying to like dumb it down.
I hope not too much, because I think in some ways they've still got the opportunity to show them how wonderful VR can be, because they're going to be the next generation. So I do hope they experience like high-fiving their friends with hand tracking. Like, there's a very special thing with hand tracking. It can be really good. Mickey Burr says his Reverb, well, not his Reverb, he finds Reverb G2 blurry. I'm like, wow. So it's pretty amazing.
That's an unpopular opinion of that headset.
I would say so. I think I thought it was pretty amazing back in the day, but it's interesting. It's interesting. Whatever, some comments.
Whatever happens with Quest 3 when it releases, people don't realize this, but like Quest Pro had like two prototypes that they could have chose which one to go to market. Quest 3 had three different prototypes. They chose what to go to market. I'm sure whatever's next is the same way. They're going to look at data. They're going to look at how people are reacting to Quest 3, things they don't like, especially if the community's loud about those things. And those are the things that people will strip out. So
I just don't, I mean, for me, after PSVR 2, eye tracking is almost, I kind of thought it was expected. Yeah. That's the one down already for me.
It is a downer.
Yeah. I really, if I was them, I really would consider, you know, making the controllers on the light an option. You know, I mean, you make them available to buy, just like the head strap, right? The Quest 3, Quest 2, eat the shitty ass head strap with it, right? And first thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to go upgrade your head strap, but it keeps their cost down. And people just realize that they got to go do it. So if you don't sell controllers with it and you say you can use your hand tracking to run everything, but you sell a set of Quest 2 controllers as an option and you make it available in stores, and people just have to upgrade, you know, $75, $100 or whatever you want to charge for controllers, that would keep your cost down too.
No, I can't. It wouldn't keep your cost down? I can't get behind this. Well, I yes, it maybe would, but I think it would sell the device improperly. I think it would set improper expectations of the customer. I think it would set people up to have like disappointing birthdays and Christmases. Like, say you ask for a headset for your birthday, you're 12 years old, you're stoked to get into Roblox, and then it shows up and it doesn't have controllers. And then mom and dad are like, it doesn't come with controllers. We got to buy those extra. What the hell? You know? And it's like, dude. And not only that, there isn't enough like legit hand tracking stuff to make it worth buying the device for. Like, you could do workrooms, you know, you could maybe play a couple of games, Finger Gun and Aeolia, and have fun with those two games. And then,
I don't know, tell this to a $3,500 Apple VR headset Apple AR headset.
I feel you, but just I don't saying, think that I mean,
they're gonna sell a $3,500 device with no controllers. And do everything with hand tracking.
What do you, I mean,
but it's not a gaming device.
No, but this doesn't have to be considered a gaming device. There's a lot of things you can do on the Quest 2 or 3 without controllers. A lot you can do. You can navigate the menu, you can do whatever. There's a lot. It doesn't have to be considered. I mean, it's a gaming device.
It's so much fun to navigate the menu. I just love it.
But I mean, you can go in and do experiences. No, I mean, how many 360 experiences can you do? How many immersive experiences can you do and go in and play and go in and do, like, you know, Baba Yaga or, you know, Bonfire or, you know, Gloomy Eyes and don't need controllers. I mean, you can go into, you know, Google Earth and do that experience. You can go into Wonder and do that.
Yeah, it's all like secondhand stuff, though. You know, like, again, people think about VR.
But you're making this an option. You're making this an option. You know, it's not saying you can't get controllers. You can get controllers.
Yeah, you're just trying to bring the initial entry fee down. Yeah.
So just trying to bring the cost down. If this is a $250 headset or a $275 headset or even a $299 headset, you know what I mean? If it's a Quest 3 and you want to bring the cost down and get people into it, this is the way you do it.
If I was a betting man, I would say it would come with controllers.
Yeah, that's me too. All.
But I mean, I know, I understand what you're saying. I remember, I think we said this the other week about the Xbox launch was kind of this crazy mix of Xbox 360. They had an Xbox with no hard drive, so they could slap an advertisement saying, like, I don't know, whatever the price was, $299 for a brand new game console, which had never been heard of before. And my friend, that was the one he got. Like, I was like, no, I need to get the hard drive. Blah, 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 because I think already people were talking about installing games and stuff. And sure enough, he bought it. He then bought a memory card thinking that would be enough. And it wasn't. Like, something wasn't right. And he had to sell it pretty promptly because he had to buy the hard drive as well. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting conversation. And I can't help it. It adds anxiety to me. I'm like, oh, man, what is going to happen with this Quest 3? Like, mm-hmm. I made a video this week talking about how I felt about VR at the moment, and it does the whole thing about younger audiences is great, but I'm not the younger audience. Like, I want real games, and I think that what's going to happen is for those real games, I'm going to be leaning more towards PSVR 2, but at the same time, will that be enough? Like, is there going to be enough of those titles as well? It's a weird time. It feels a weird time. It feels like there's some sort of transition happening. I don't know.
Yeah, we're like in VR adolescence right now. You know, we're going through changes. You know, our voices are changing, hair showing up where it wasn't before. But we'll get out of here.
That's an interesting take. I think you know what could really do make a difference in, you know, experiences in VR being more what we want is Prey Dog's Unreal Injector mod. I think that could change things for PC VR gamers. I think that could change things because those are going to be the games, the AAA games that we want. I'm just hoping that experience is amazing. It is coming soon. But that will bring a lot of people to the table with PCVR headsets that where it's been lacking. You know, PCVR has been, it's been dying for a long time, and I think this could bring some of it back.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to be able to play any Unreal game in VR sounds pretty sick.
Yeah, and that's where the games are that we want to play right now. Think about all the flat games that you could be able to play in that mod and have it play well. I mean, it could make a difference in every new game that comes out from now on.
So yeah, interestingly, Mr. Back asked about what are your thoughts on PSVR 2 sales. I can quickly dive in with some of the feedback I got from developers was sales have slowed, like, a lot, pretty much. I think everyone, and I think it's not down to hardware not impressing people and stuff. I think it's due to they've got nothing to really shout about that they did at launch. You know, at the end of the day, they set that bar really high, and I'm very grateful for it. Like Gran Turismo 7, Horizon, Resident Evil 8, and then don't know. Like you, and that's from outside the VR bubble, not in it. Because in it, you've got Switchback, and you've got like other games that have come up again. I guess you've got Cities VR that would appeal to some outsiders, but that's kind of the worry, you know, because I think a lot of people are like, right, I'm just going to wait for Resident Evil 4 now. I'm not even interested in these other games that I've not even heard of, you know. Maybe Zombieland had an opportunity because that's an IP, obviously. But, you know, that's kind of where I think some people are, like, I hate to say it. I don't know about you guys, and when you have, like, a lot of comments for YouTube, you kind of... How many people here watch YouTube and go through other videos' comments, like all of them? And then when you get these comments, I tend to sit here and scroll through a lot of the videos sometimes. You know, I can't reply to everyone, but I scroll through them all. And the general thing was like, yeah, I'm just going to like, I love my PSVR 2, but I'm kind of like putting it away for now or not using it for now. I kept seeing this. I put it down. I've put it away, ready for Resident Evil 4 Remake and hopefully a good Christmas. And I was like, damn it. Like, no, like, hold on to it. It doesn't feel like it's been out long enough for this to happen. And I yeah. think, you know, and I honestly believe, I still remember the podcast we did, like, just for PSVR 2 launched and talking about it. And I genuinely felt that it was going to bring in a massive load of new people. And it kind of has, but just not enough, you know. And then you got the, like, some people are like, yeah, content is king, but it's good content. It's not just content. Like, you could, there's so many games. In that case, Steam would be king, you know. PCVR would be king, because I don't even know how many VR titles are on there. But some of those games are slowly coming over to PSVR 2, and I kind of feel like somehow I've got to say, look, guys, this new game's come in, and I'm just like, it's...
Yeah, you know, I played in a Knock tournament last week and got annihilated, just for the record. I participated.
Was that the Grand, was that the Granddad's tournament and you lost?
Yeah, yeah, the Geezer Circuit.
Granddad's tournament.
Yeah, it was awesome. The Geezer Circuit, and I played on PlayStation VR because, you know, I take advantage of every opportunity I can to use my PlayStation VR. Feel like I got my money's worth out of it. And I very quickly was able to identify a couple of, like, what I would consider to be pretty big issues with the PlayStation VR 2 experience. First one is that my tracking sucked. Like, sucked. And I don't know exactly what the cause was, but in Knock, you're pulling back a bow and arrow and you're pulling it back pretty far while you're doing a lot of, like, turning and, like, spinning the camera and, like, looking in all directions and, like, looking overhead and underneath. So I was struggling with my tracking big time during Knock, and I didn't feel that with Synapse. I didn't feel it with you know, Horizon Call of the Mountain. So I do think it has something to do with the gestures of, like, the bow being pulled back like you do in Knock. So for that reason alone, I would hesitate to play Knock again on the PlayStation VR unless there was a patch to fix it.
Can't get a refund, can you, really? Like, easy. You can't just, you know,
for the game.
None of- PlayStation.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So for example, as you said the other week, and I remember you saying you've got this on PC VR, you've got it on Quest.
Yep.
And you wanted to play it on PSVR 2. Obviously, it's cross-platform. What I haven't ever refunded a PSVR 2 game. I've refunded a PS4 game, and I seem to remember having to be on the phone.
It's a lot harder to do with Sony. Other platforms, I guess, just like those main, like the main ones, like Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, they're all really difficult to get refunds from. But obviously, that hasn't been the case with Oculus or Steam, or you know, they have pretty forgiving refund policies. I ended up finding a code. I think I want to say Rezzle VR gave me a code for PlayStation version of Knock. So I didn't have to reach into my pocket for it. But honestly, an equally like jarring issue that I ran into was the sensitivity of the microphone for multiplayer experiences. Like I was just breathing comfortably and normally, and everyone who I encountered was like, holy crap, bro, heavy breathing much? Like, what's going on? Like, they could hear every breath I took, like
you
can turn the mic down though.
No, it's not me being old. And yes, you can turn it down. And I literally turned the sensitivity of the microphone all the way down to the very bottom portion, which I do think made it better. But I still think that that's like insane that I would have to put the mic sensitivity all the way down just to not have my normal, comfortable breathing being picked up by everybody in the lobby. So yeah, those two issues made it like not the best experience, and I would definitely be playing on my Quest Pro next time I play Knock.
I mean, Vertigo 2 is coming to PSVR 2. I'm very excited for Zach, and I really hope, but again, and I don't mean to be a downer, I try to look at everything. Yeah. I try to look at as a consumer point of view, as a fan, who's going to care outside of VR about Vertigo 2? Because they're not going to know what it means. They're not even going to, they never heard of it, you know, unless he released a flat version.
We need Astrobot.
We do need Astrobot.
Big time.
We need first party Sony titles. That's what we need.
So Parasite Green says, GZ, just to help you cheer up, dude. And to be honest, guys, it's not about being, I know it sounds like a downer. You are right. I am down. You are right. I was going to try and fight it, but it's not true. I am down about it because going into February and March, I was like, shit, dude, like PSVR2 is going to bring this wave and then it's going to be like Quest 3, because I honestly hope that more people don't just stay in PSVR2. And I know it can be expensive to invest in headsets, but at least with Quest 3, I do think you're going to get 2-3 years of use out of it. Like the same amount as you would PSVR2. And I think there's going to be other exclusive, other games, and more room scale stuff to experience. You know, like there's other things in VR that are really cool. Personally, I love all VR. And, but yeah, I kind of expected, I was just gutted when these developers were like, yeah, like sales have just slowed. And it all points to the headset not selling. And I was like, crap, I didn't want that. I didn't want to hear that at all. This is not the reality that I wanted, you know, because if I was a PlayStation owner, like I was back on PS4, and someone said there's a VR headset for my PS4, I'd be like, fucking hell yeah. But I'm getting that straight away. And then, you know, oh.
Yeah, isn't that so weird? Because like, I'm right there with you. Like anytime anything cool comes out for like one of my gaming systems, I am like paying serious attention to it, you know, and it's like, it blows my mind that this $600 device can come out as an accessory for my PlayStation 5. And that doesn't have like the majority of PlayStation 5 owners, like raising their eyebrows and being like, yo, dang. Okay. What is this? Maybe I should check this out. But yeah, it doesn't really seem like there's a whole lot of hype, and I'm interested to see how Game On Expo for us goes next month. Every year in Phoenix, myself and Skiva and Mash has been helping us out now, and some other people from our tight little circle here. We provide free virtual reality experiences to everybody at this gaming conference that happens in Phoenix every year. And this year we're going to have the PlayStation VR, which I am really excited to show off because A, it's new, it's cutting edge, not everybody's tried it, and B, it is a part of the like consumer gaming ecosystem. So I'm hoping that people will come by and be like, yo, I've been really excited to try one of these. Awesome. Let me get in there, you know, but I am curious as to whether or not that's going to happen, because there is a part of me that like almost worries that like people are not going to be approaching us just to try the PlayStation VR 2, which, you know, if it were me, I would be the first in line to do that. But
yeah,
it's just interesting how the public perception of the device doesn't really seem to be there. Like
it's
where it's, is everybody?
It's just the big titles like Parasite 82 Green. His list is the reason. Yeah. His list right here is the problem. Like his list is like Phasmophobia. He's like, hey, we got this is great. We got Phasma. We got Firewall. We got Aces of Thunder. We got Resident Evil 4, Vampire Masquerade, VR Skater. These games don't mean shit to anybody besides Resident Evil 4. These games don't mean shit to anybody who doesn't already know what a VR headset is. So how are you going to get the people that just own a PS5 to go out and buy a PSVR 2? This is not the list to get them to do it. Like you need like a Spider-Man game. You need, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2. You need, you know, Assassin's Creed VR. I mean, like a good one. Like we need to know these things now. Like they need to be telling people, yes, coming this fall, you're going to have all these titles. We need Astrobot. We need, you know, big first party Sony titles or at least big name titles. Last of Us, you know, in VR. We need those titles because nobody gives a shit about most of these titles. Like, I don't know. Like I'm excited for Vampire Masquerade, but is anybody else outside of our little bubble? You know, VR Skater, do you tell a person who is in VR, who's not in VR right now, hey, I got VR Skater coming. They're like, what?
I actually tested it, telling people about it, and they were like, how does that work? And I was like, use your hands. And they're like,
what?
What do you mean? they literally like don't understand it. I mean, in one way though, that might add some interest. But I'm glad you read that list, because to be honest, all of those games for me personally is day one, like without a doubt, you know, if you're a VR fan.
As said, we'll play them.
Yeah, absolutely. And
but we already have headsets. You know what I mean? Like they have us already. Like we already bought.
The majority
of people that are excited about that list already have headsets.
Like, I just want to say thank you to Michael Grant for the $2 donation. He says we need Cyberpunk VR. You can play Cyberpunk in VR, but on PC, and it is a pretty incredible experience. Very incredible. I mean, the only thing that holds it back is I don't think it's got touch controller support. Like you still need to use a gamepad or a keyboard and mouse, I think. But I'm pretty sure that's what's that guy's name? He does the ports.
Grey Dog.
No, the one who made $72,000 in a month, whatever his name is.
Now I can't remember.
I can't remember his name.
Luke Ross.
So Luke Ross's mods don't actually get touch support. Like that's not really how they work. But
control pad.
Yeah, if they got touch support, my goodness, that would be crazy.
VRMC says, come on, Sony, Twisted Metal VR, let's go.
That would be huge.
And they're making like a movie or a Netflix
series? Yeah, they are. I saw the trailer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe there's a game that'll come along with it, and that would potentially get people interested. They watch the show, then a game comes out, and it's VR. Should it be VR only or hybrid? Like you can choose which one.
I'll tell you what really pisses me off again is the silence that Sony give you. Like you don't tomorrow after me going through like a couple of weeks of like, for fuck's sake, what is going on? Tomorrow they could go, guess what? You can play all your PSVR 1 games now. And I'll be like, you knobs. Why didn't you even say that you were working on this? And it would have just made me feel better. You know, like, I just give a shit. I care about what's going on. And yeah, so I mean, but it's lovely. Like games do just shadow drop or whatever you want to call it. They just come out of nowhere. But at the same time, I'd rather that didn't happen. You know, I'd rather we had some warning to what's happening. But yeah, I don't know. And for some reason, PSVR 2, they do it all the time. They do it all the time with PSVR 2.
Which is weird because they need the hype, like especially right now, like in the summer months where everything is slow. I mean, to be fair, it's not just Sony, right? Like, nobody's buying games right now. Nobody wants to play VR. It's just super slow. I mean, this is the slowest time of the year for Quest sales and, you know, Quest games. I mean, every developer is singing the same tune, and that's just the time of the year it is. But it's just unfortunate with a brand new headset. I mean, literally, this headset came out just a few months ago. That were in this stall already, and they just don't need to be. Like, I think they could still build hype even without releasing games. You can still build hype and keep people talking about it. Like, nobody's talking about it outside of our VR world because nobody gives a shit because there's nothing to talk about. Like, if they had things that people could even look forward to, that would be something.
I would love for InDreams just to openly talk about their sale numbers. I would love that. Mm-hmm. I would love that because that would really give you an exact view, I think, more than ever. Like, a very good game. All right, it was short, but it was very good. And that would let you know how many people are alive in the space at the moment.
I have some friends who are mods of pretty much every VR subreddit out there. And they sent me a screenshot of their subreddit views, mainly the biggest one, which I believe is virtual reality. And despite it being the summer month, they're getting around half of the viewership for the subreddit compared to last summer, which is usually a downside.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It is scary, dude. It is scary. Funny enough, though, I was told that Quest is still selling very well, but I still don't think, and this brought me back to my video I made the other day, yesterday, that it's not, that isn't about us buying them. I don't think adults are buying them. I think these are kids playing Gorilla Tag and Rec Room and stuff. That, mm-hmm. And that's where I think I'm like, oh no, you know, like it's great. It's great in that it's great for them, but it's not great for me. You know, it's not all that means to me is Meta are going to be like, do you know what we need to focus on? The teen demographic. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
They should. Like, think about how many kids were playing with Pokemon cards versus adults when they came out. Like, when Pokemon cards came out, I was all about it. I loved Pokemon cards. I wanted them as much as I could get them. But my parents are looking at them like, I'm going to spend $6 or $7 on a package of paper for you. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't drinking the Kool-Aid.
They even said that about the shiny ones?
Well, okay, no, they like the shinies. Yeah, but everything, yeah. No, you know, I mean, but at the end of the day, like, we didn't share the passion is the point I'm trying to make. And all of those kids who grew up loving Pokemon cards have become adults now. And I remember news stories, like actual news stories on like Channel 4 being like, what's the cure for Pokemon fever? And everyone's just like, oh, it's just the next fad. Don't worry. The next fad's going to come along and all the kids are just going to change their attention. And they never did.
Yeah.
So the point I'm trying to make is that all of those Pokemon card carrying kids all grew up and became Pokemon parents, and now they are doing Pokemon stuff with their kids, and they have streams on Twitch where they're opening up $500 worth of Pokemon cards every night. That might be a similar cadence to like what we're looking at with VR right now, because adults are not adopting it in the way that we all kind of have thought that everyone else would.
They will,
you know,
all want,
I mean?
Gorilla Tag too. They'll all grow up going,
yes,
I want to,
yes,
be
and they'll be in
Monkey.
They'll be in. So it might be, it's crazy to say, but it might be like another 10 to 15 years before our like community has all of those kids who grew up loving it,
mm-hmm,
that are now old enough to like make an impact and like help move the needle, you know?
Yeah. And to be fair, this holiday, it's going to be nuts. Like, I mean, I'm down right now. GT's a little down, you know, Brad's probably down just because the hardware is like not around that we want. You know, everybody's down a little bit right now about virtual reality. But to be fair, I don't, like James says, can VR still fail? I don't think VR can still fail. I think VR is going to be fine. I think we're going to have an amazing fall. Like, as much as I am kind of killing Sony right now for not having these games, do I think that they're not going to? No, I think this fall we're going to have some amazing games that Sony will release. And I think we're going to have a kick-ass holiday season. I think the Quest 3 is going to have as much hype as the Quest 2 did coming out. I think that, when, you know, around the September 27th and September 28th for Meta Connect, I think we're going to see some amazing announcements. People are going to be excited. It's going to bring some new people into VR. I think there's going to be some great game announcements. I think some people are holding their announcements for the Quest 3. So as much doom and gloom as we might be feeling, or at least feeling a little bit down right now, I do think the fall is going to be on fire. Like, I don't think we're going to have any lack of things to talk about coming up.
Yeah, dude, like today. So going back to how I actually felt earlier before we started talking about Quest and the Pro and all that stuff, is Firewall has now got a release date. It's got a price and it's got a new trailer, which I'll try and pull up the trailer to show everyone if they have. Oh, fucking hell, what have I done here? Hold on a minute. Let me try and get this. I need to get another window up. And interestingly, when you studied this trailer, there were some interesting things like that come up that kind of worried me. Like Mike rung me straight away. He was like, dude, have you seen the new trailer? And he was like, from a content creator point of view, the things that we would worry about are kind of there, you know, in regards to like presentation and stuff, you know. So basically, looking at this trailer, which is playing now, boys, by the way, this is all new gameplay footage, by the way, captured in the headset. It kind of looks left eye capture,
mm-hmm.
which is a bit worrying. The frame rate doesn't look 60 FPS. It looks like 30 FPS, which last I heard it was because of Unreal Engine 4 that 30 FPS output was an issue. And Unreal Engine 5 is 60. But they're saying it's Unreal Engine 5. So that threw me. And there's no mention of there isn't apparently on the blog, but there's no mention in like the press kit release and stuff and the emails they put out that the hardcore mode, the physical reload. Yeah. Like they're not talking about that at the moment, but I'm pretty sure when we did discuss it, it was about an update that was going to come further down the line. I think the game looks awesome. I think the game looks really cool. I'm very excited to play it. And as I said before, I'm kind of like, let me get hands on with this so I can judge it, because gameplay is king. Like if you, one button reload, if the gameplay is just all about the tactical side of it, you know, and the action's cool and shit, I won't care. I probably won't care, but I need to play it to work that out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I fell in love with Firewall because when it came out, it was the only headset I had. The PlayStation VR was the only headset I had. And there was no game that allowed me to like squad up with some homies. It was like, there's nothing. Like all the multiplayer games were like Rec Room. You could do Farpoint with one other person, which was cool, but it wasn't like the competitive side of things. So Firewall like really hit the nail on the head and was kind of the first like online squad up with your homies and play a competitive game against other people, PlayStation VR title. So I played a lot of it and never thought to myself like how I was missing out on manual reloading, because at the time I had never really experienced it. Fast forward to the Quest 1 coming out and I acquire that and I start to play some games like Pavlov and Contractors and Onward that have those kind of gun mechanics. Population 1 even, which I'm willing to say is a manual reload. It's like an arcadey version, but it's still manual. And I really, really love it. But I've been back to Firewall like to like play with friends. I think there's one night that we were playing with you, Mash, and it took you a long time to get in, if you remember. But yeah, that night was super, super fun. That was like years after the Quest 1 had come out. And I didn't even think about manual reload while I was in those matches. Like I was just playing Firewall and but I was just loving it.
But then you was using a Thomas McNostra said, hello, GT Town. Yeah, she's been scratching at the door for the last 3 or 4 minutes. I was kind of hoping the rest of my family would be home, but they're obviously running late. And now she's feeling a bit left out. She's a good girl. She doesn't bark or anything. But you didn't have touch controllers. You had an aim controller or a DualShock. And that is different. Like, you're going to have hands that move. I'm assuming. I don't know. Because, like, when I played Operation Wolf, for example, you have an assault rifle, but your hand automatically sticks.
Yeah,
so that's weird. So you angle it around, and I kind of got used to it, but like on a video it wouldn't look like that. On a video it looked like that's your hand and you're holding it. What if Firewall does that? What if Firewall does automatically?
Don't do that. Did that where your hand snaps to it automatically, I hated that. And
it's possible though. It's possible, yeah. Like because of what happened with Solaris, you know, when they launched Solaris, they had
that was terrible too.
Sniffing my PC.
But that's what it is. I mean, they should, if they're doing that still, I mean, that still is a freaking aim controller thing. Like, why would they bring that now? Like, we're so far removed from the aim controller, and they knew that they had issues with Solaris. I mean, they killed Solaris. Solaris died because of that reason, and the reason that you couldn't freaking even play any squad up with anybody for the first 6 months of its life. So no, that was the problem with Solaris. I mean,
thinking it was so cool though. Like,
yeah, it could have done okay. Like, I don't know if it would have been like, you know, as big as Firewall, but I mean, I think it could have done okay, but they killed that because of the left hand being frozen. And because, you know, again, they were like, if you wanted to get in a match with a friend, you had to start a match at the same time and hope you got put in the same lobby and on the same team.
Yeah,
you couldn't squad up with somebody for the first 6 months of the game.
I hate it when developers do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate that. You have to have a way to get in with your homies that doesn't just like enrage you.
Random. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like even like Breachers. Like Breachers still has some serious work, in my opinion, to like smooth out that party up and get into a match process. Cause like you open up one of those server lists and the just names are just like flying all over the place, and it's like impossible to like click on the one that you actually want to access. And yeah, but a lot of games have done that. Like Hyper Dash, when that came out, you couldn't just partner up with people and jump into a game together. And yeah, that blows my mind.
I mean, death for a multiplayer game. I mean, yeah, I don't know how you would even think about it.
Talking about this has made me think back to the fact that Firewall Ultra is the framework of the original.
Yeah.
It is the original Firewall underneath. I think they've said that. Like, Firewall Ultra is a next generation of the first game.
That does kind of scare me.
It's not a remake. There's a few aspects
of that game that needed huge reworks. And in my opinion, like, the lobby and queuing system is the worst part of that game. Like, I played so much of that game that we would, like, sprint to our locations on each map. And sometimes if we were going up against somebody who didn't have the skills as we did, we could wipe around in like 15 to 30 seconds. And then you go back into a lobby and like change guns and weapons and teams, and that lasts like 2 minutes. So you're like spending more time in lobbies than you are in actual matches, which is a nightmare.
So like, you've seen the notes though. You've seen the release notes of this.
Like of Firewall Ultra.
Ultra, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't.
So it's got like it's got. I think someone noticed it or someone suggested it. I don't know how I know this, but someone said like it's three rounds this time. But I've also heard at the end of a round you go back to the lobby, and then it like blips back and blips back again or something like that. Someone said that and I was like, oh right, I didn't know that. Or it might even be true. I might have dreamt it as a nightmare. Like. That's gonna happen. I could have made that up, but they have said like the lobby is fully interactable. There's even a firing range in there. We've got dedicated servers. So even though it's the framework of the original, I kind of think they're really putting some effort into making it better. So good. Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful. In fact, I'm like you, Alex. Like when that game launched, I lost my shit. Like it was the best game on PSVR2 for me for ages. I recently went through my channel actually and unlisted some videos or privated them. And dude, I used to stream Firewall every Friday. I didn't even know. It was Firewall Fridays. There's a hashtag. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? Like
it's coming. I think it's gonna come again. I mean, because at least in the beginning, I think you'll see a lot of that again. I think you'll see like dedicated nights where everybody gets in and wants to go into Ultra again. But it needs to be good, like, or it won't last. You know what I mean? Dude, it'll be like a 2 weeks.
The first one was so fun, bro. Yeah. Like, I woke up and played that game every morning. Every morning. I woke up 8 a.m., bam, downstairs, hitting up the squad. Let's go. Like, it was a normal and natural part of my daily routine. And I loved every second of it. And I stood on my feet for every single one of those
for
matches.
For hours?
Every single match. I never sat down. I was like way too immersed. It's way too intense. Like I'd get in there, man, and my heart would just be pounding during moments where, you know, it's like down to you and it's like a 2v1 or a 3v1 and you're trying to clutch it. And it's so, so fucking good.
Well,
Firewall
let me give-
is so good.
Let me give you some. I'll give you and GT and Ride some of the highlights that they have here, and you let me know if this is like making you nervous or if it's lighting you on fire. You can blind people momentarily with using your flashlight.
That's cool.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
You can close your eyes, physically close your eyes to avoid effects like flashbang or flashlight.
Just to go back to the flashlight though, one thing I always test now, and funny enough, Tactical Assault had it, right, which is made by one guy. On Quest and PC, yeah, and it's a low poly looking game, and I actually like
but
the art
it
style.
It looks and plays kind of awesome though. I like
his game out of all the ones I've tested is the only one where you can put your hand over the light and it doesn't go through it. But The annoying thing is, like, the ghost image of the light does, but the actual, and I wish you just removed it, but the actual light does stop at the hand. And I'm like, oh, dude, so you can do, like, finger puppets and shit, you know? And I always test that in games, because I want to go into a tactical situation, not just, I don't want to put my gun down. I want to hold
cover
my
your laser
over the
cover
light.
Your
yeah.
laser, cover your
and
light.
And if I see someone around the corner, I could literally let that light go. And so that's why I'm excited for that feature, if that is how that works. Like, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, that, I mean, it seems like it, they did show that in the trailer too. Like, do you see that? Or like a hand over their eyes or over the flashlight. Once you go down, you can now crawl around to find cover, because that was something that was not in their original firewall. Once you were down, you're mobile.
That was a perk in Call of Duty, wasn't it? Like, it was a perk you added on, and you could move around and still shoot people. I remember wiping a whole team on my ass. It was like laying there, like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
The ability to crawl around actually will change the, like, gameplay flow, I think, pretty significantly. Because before, you get downed and, like, your team is on the move, like, yep, that's it. Like, you know, they're coming to pick you off. But being able to crawl, like, you might be able to set up like advantageous like hold points and stuff, that if you get dropped, you can just crawl around a corner and get picked up over there, that kind of thing. So I can definitely see that affecting the gameplay pretty
substantially. I wonder what you can do while you're in that state. Like, could you still defuse a bomb? Could you still like, what can you do? Obviously there's revives for this game,
is there if you go down, you're gonna stay alive, so they must be.
There are probably perks that unlock abilities, if I had to guess, because
I just can't,
like,
remember, Alex, if there was revives. Like,
well, there was eventually they made a perk that allowed you to revive yourself as you were downed. So I imagine that will probably come back. And then I could see a perk along the lines of, like, you're allowed to use your pistol when you're downed or something like that, because that also would make a big difference into how that game feels to play.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and you can still call enemies out too when you're down, so to your teammates, right?
Or dead. Yeah, or dead.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
There's going to be pre-made custom loadouts with two guns and two gadgets each. You can assign an attacking and defending loadout, so you can auto swap mid-match as you change sides. That's kind of cool. Not having to worry about your loadout. Dedicated servers. This is what GT was saying. Dedicated servers with fast load times, best of three setup overhauls the game experience. But imagine these matches, if we're talking best of threes, these matches are going to be quick, which Firewall, you know, was always fairly quick matches. I mean, kind of like a Breachers type thing. The matches don't last forever.
They were sometimes super quick. Like, it was known as a lobby simulator. You know, like, yeah. If you went private, it was fine, because you could get, like, your friends in there, and you were always in there, always ready to go. But if you went public, you could be in some real trouble. I remember streaming it once, and towards the end, and I was just like, this is pointless. Like, I'm just sitting there talking to the chat in the lobby of Firewall.
Nobody there.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And the more competitive, the more competitive it gets, the faster the games go, because people learn the maps, they, like, learn the metas, they understand what people are going to do and how they're going to try to do it, and they get to those points really quickly. So I remember, like, earlier days of Firewall, for me, matches lasted a lot longer. And then once you kind of, like, start to understand the meta, like, what everybody does typically, then they sped up quite a bit.
Nice.
But yeah, something at the end here they mentioned, which I didn't notice until now. Stay tuned for details, including an upcoming deep dive on the all-new cooperative PvE game mode.
Yeah, some people were asking about that. I'm kind of interested in it, but to be honest, I just want that gameplay that we had before, that competitive gameplay. Like, that was so exciting to play. And I see all the guys in the chat today, they're all mentioning all the big games that would definitely make such a difference. AP UK saying Astrobot, Sackboy, Motorstorm, Wipeout, Resistance, Killzone, PSVR 2 Worlds, even a remake of that, you know, like, that would be absolutely awesome. Because again, another thing is with PSVR 2, there's no demo situation.
Yeah.
You know, you have to play a game. There's no free experience. You just get put in front of a flat screen in PS5 and away you go. So
that totally sucks. There really should be, like, some easy to get into, fun, you know, cheesy, cute kind of thing that people can immediately take advantage of their hardware with.
Well, this is why I've heard about PSVR 2 launch being a soft launch. You know, that's what people have said. Mm-hmm. I've heard that phrase go around a couple of times.
Scary that Sony has the freaking soft launch. I mean, if Sony's got a soft launch, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it's scary. But where's the social stuff, Brad? Where's VR chat for PlayStation VR 2? Where's Rec Room? Where, you know, where's some of these other games that would bring a ton of people in to a headset that's kind of struggling a little bit right now? It doesn't make sense to me that they have zero.
Where's Rec Room?
Crazy. Like, how do they not have it? VR chat would probably be fairly easy to get up in there. I just don't know why it hasn't been brought in. And why isn't Sony going out and officially going and getting it? You know what I mean? Go get it, Sony. Like, don't wait around for VR chat to go bring you the game. Go fucking get it. Go and say, we need social. Go put some money and tell them and pay them to make their game for your platform. I mean, this isn't PlayStation 5, okay, where everybody just begs to be on your platform. This is PSVR 2. You might actually have to, you know, go get somebody and pay somebody to come and put their stuff on your headset to make you successful.
I don't feel Sony's fully in it yet mentally, honestly, because of what you just said. Like, it does feel like they just kind of launch it, whether it's soft or not, by purpose. It just, I don't know. Regarding the social VR, it really does suck that it's not on there, because I actually think the hardware would be incredible for social VR users. I've made the joke before that, well, one, you have eye tracking, which is very important in social VR, and two, you have like head pad haptics, so when people touch your head, you'll be able to feel it. That's very important. It's a weird thing, but it's very important. But I do remember reading an article recently that right after Meta and Roblox announced that they're bringing, obviously, Roblox to Meta Quest, that all of a sudden Sony was like, okay, we're also going to bring Roblox to
I saw that. There was nothing official, so there was didn't really anything to report on. I think, I was just a bit like, that's very different. Like, if Mark Zuckerberg puts out officially word that it is happening, even though he did that with GTA, we haven't forgot.
It's coming, man. It's coming.
We haven't forgot. We're not forgetting. We're not moving on. We will not be lied to. I believe I heard about Roblox a while back, so it's definitely happening. It would be interesting if it comes to PSVR 2. I don't know how that would. I don't know if their age demographic would appreciate it so much. I don't know.
It's. PSVR 2 is an enigma in my brain still. Like, I was, you guys are talking about Firewall, and I actually never played the first one still to this day. And like, I remember when it came out, the one thing that like really interested me and like almost made me rebuy a PSVR 1 at the time was when I saw the controller like designed like that. I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen in a mass market product for VR. And that's not there this time. And even though PSVR 2 controllers are cool and all, I'm like,
ooh, there it is.
Yeah. Look, that thing looks awesome. Anyone who's a normal consumer sees that thing, they're like, okay, that looks sick, in my opinion. But yeah.
It was so good, dude. Or it is so good, really. I mean, it just feels good. You got the joysticks on it. That was the other thing. We had no joysticks.
Yeah.
We had no fucking joysticks. So, like, this thing opened up a whole... But it wasn't actually supported that well, to be honest. They could have done a lot more with it. And it's like... Oh, I want another one.
I love the aim controller. It completely ruined me. Yeah, it ruined me. Like, people have like tried to get the same feeling out of gun stocks and have tried to convince me that gun stocks are as good or work as well or whatever, but
no,
nothing compares, man.
No, not at all. Thank you for the donation from Parasite 82 Green. Thank you for the £10 donation. Even with just four of you, you still managed to pull it out of the bag as always. I hope we get a game on PSVR 2 that is like Survive with propagation VR demographics or Back to the Future VR.
Oh, dude.
Back to the Future VR. Did you guys see, I mean, that'd be absolutely amazing. Did you guys see the Michael J. Fox thing on, is it on Netflix or Apple? I think it might be on Apple. Like, his kind of life story.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's really good.
I'd like to check it out.
It's really good, man. If you're interested, because he does do a lot of the Back to Future stuff, and he talks about that he's battled with Parkinson's, and it's insane. Like, it's so insane to hear him talk about his life and how one day he wakes up and suddenly his little finger's just shaking and he doesn't know why. Like, for the first time in his life, he's got a part of his body he's not in control of. That must be insane to feel that. Mm. And then he spent years covering it up, like 5 years covering it up. And he even turned the way he acted into like working with it, you know, like different movements of his body. This is crazy. Like, it's really amazing. It's really amazing. Lincoln Clay with a $5 donation. Nintendo nearly sued Sony for Dreams content. Really? Oh, yeah, I think I heard something about that. Like, obviously, there's Mario. There's actually some very good Sonic games in there. I don't think they want that same heat from VR chat on or big screen.
I mean, VR, they're already out there. Like, yeah, you know, there's all kinds of crazy, epic Nintendo worlds and stuff in VR chat and other social platforms that, you know. Nintendo can't get at after everybody.
Do you know what I think, though? Like, all I see that is, like, just fucking up your game. Like, if you're the originators of this product, then surely you're the go-to guys. Like, they go to you for the full experience, and the fans make their own version. But, all I mean, for me to go, oi, your one-man-developed game is threatening my IP, I'll be like, what? Like, I mean, thank you for making this. It's so awesome, you know? It's like someone sending in fan art. That's all I see this stuff as. It's fan art, you know? For them to get...
Yeah. I go back and forth on it, bro. Because, like, I do feel you. Like, I agree it is kind of like fan art. But it is a video game that stars Mario. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Mario with like an out of proportion body, and he doesn't fucking jump right, and he doesn't stand right, and he doesn't control right, and it looks like a bit cloudier, and nothing kind of looks exactly the same, but I guess it is Mario.
Yeah, well, but that's exactly it. Like, Mario is like their...
It's Wish.
It's their beautiful, shining boy, you know, and they can't...
Wish version of Mario.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't like Wish version of Mario. They don't want you out there getting successful because you made a cheap, crappy version of their thing.
The games are free as well on Dreams. It's not like... They're not selling anything.
I feel you. Don't get me wrong. I'm just like playing devil's advocate here because I do understand your perspective, but I can absolutely understand Nintendo's too. And maybe they have been a little too hard on their community over the years, but at the end of the day,
I do respect their fans.
But I do respect that they are trying to preserve the integrity of their intellectual property.
I've seen it with YouTubers as well. Like, I think people forget that to be a YouTuber of something, unless you're just a clickbait in whatever, like, we are fans. We are fans. And then you've got people out there who are Nintendo fans and Zelda fans, and they get their content taken down. Content of their own games. I'm like, what is going on? That is insane. It's just insane. Just bugs me, dude.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Duggars K has an awesome list, and I know we got to wrap up soon, but if I could get three games out of here, I would be, even just announce them, I would be super happy. He's saying Firewall Ultra, Behemoth, Journey to Foundation, Star Wars Squadrons Remake, Astrobot 2, Blood and Truth 2, Farpoint 2, RE4 and RE7 with VR modes, The Last of Us VR, God of War VR, Half-Life Alyx Remake. Give me three of those.
Yeah.
Give me
God of War would be huge.
Give me Last of Us VR. Give me Half-Life. Give me God of War. I want all the other ones too, but I'm just saying, if you gave me, think about the landscape right now and what we'd be talking about right now. If it was already announced that Last of Us VR is coming, God of VR War is coming, Half-Life Alyx is coming sometime this fall or by the end of the year.
Oh, that'd be incredible. I don't know if you guys get, there's certain people I follow on Twitter and stuff and Discords, and I got a message come through twice and I fell for it on both days. One was from Upload saying the best VR game since Half-Life Alyx is coming to PSVR 2, and it was Vertigo 2. But the original, like, and maybe it's because I'm, I don't know, dyslexic or something, I latch onto certain words I see, and I saw Half-Life Alyx PSVR 2 coming soon, and I was just like, what? Click the button. It's like Vertigo 2, and I was like, I am still happy. And then I fell for it the next day, where you get the little notification. The very next morning, I did exactly the same thing. I was like, what the? But I'm very pleased. And I do wish he brought the first one, actually. I loved the original Vertigo.
Vertigo?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
It was cool.
Good. Remastered was It was really good.
It was so good. It was so good. And I think that felt more along the lines of something of a Valve game than Vertigo 2 in some ways. Like, I felt like Vertigo 2 was more of like a, what was it? Rick and Morty kind of style stuff.
A little more humor.
And but the first game felt a bit more Valve-ish in some ways for me personally.
Brad, I know you were a big fan of Vertigo 2, right? Vertigo and Vertigo 2, right?
Oh yeah, I've been been pushing those games for quite a long time now.
He looks tired talking about it. He's like, I've been
peanut, bro.
Pushing those games.
I remember playtesting the first alpha of Vertigo 1. It was just the boss battle with a very difficult version of that fish with the tentacles.
Right.
You had to make it a lot more easier for most for the real game because no one can complete that.
Damn, bro.
Peanut. All right. That's all I need to say.
Oh,
peanut. Yeah, peanut. Yep.
I love that picture you did today. Just you and the dog looking out into the future. Like, and Peanut's a little bit looking left and right a little bit. He's like,
We're both scarred by what we see, but yeah.
Oh, no. Poor Peanut.
Oh, man. So, yeah, unfortunately, we do have to kill the show here a little bit early because people have still got work to do today. So, thank you ever so much to everyone who joined us today. Thank you to everyone who donated. That is crazy. As always, very, very, very much appreciated. And thank you to Bradley and Alex and Mash for making this show today. And we will be back on Monday, which isn't long, obviously. It's like 5 days or something, or not too long. And, the podcast, the actual audio version of this podcast does really well every time. I'm shocked by it. I'm shocked. I'm like, wow, what? So many people are listening to this.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. It means they don't want to look at us. It means they don't want to look at us.
Yeah, right. What do they listen? Where are they listening? Like, where's the big listen? Is it like Apple or
should I put it on Apple, guys?
Yeah, for sure.
Apple's that's like the original. Yeah, like they coined the term podcast.
I should put. Yeah. Okay, I'll work on that.
So what do you have? You have it on Anchor and it Spotify. Goes, and...
So it looks like it looks like Anchor owns Spotify now, or something, they do. Or Spotify owns Anchor.
Well, they're kind of like together. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know whether that's like, can I still put it on Apple through that, or do I need to upload it separately?
Yeah, you can do everything right through Anchor. Anchor will run it to everywhere, so you can run it to like. So like I have mine, I go through Anchor and I have run it to Spotify and Google and, you know, iHeartRadio and it's all free. You just have to sign it up. And,
cool. Yeah, I'll look into that. Easy. I didn't know. So yeah, but Spotify is pretty much where I think most people listening to. So nice. Look after yourselves. Thank you ever so much for joining us and we will see you all on Monday. Have a great time if you are, guys, even though it's really hot.
Later, peeps.